Hello, welcome to PHP BB Weekly, episode number 118 for Saturday, August 8th, 2009. PHP BB Weekly is the weekly live podcast where we talk all about the PHP BB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. Coming to you for the last time for a little while from San Francisco, California, I am your co-host Douglas Bell.
And I'm Alfalfa.
David, stop. Wrong day to screw around with coming up with a fake name for yourself.
Oh, why not? I always do, right? It would be weird if I didn't. This is David Lewis, also known as Highway of Life on the boards.
Yes.
Coming from the usual place up in Spokane, Washington.
The usual place. And we're very excited to have Tom Bedard, better known as Sub Blue, joining us today.
Hi there. Good to be here.
And it's great to hear from you, and we're so excited. I was so excited personally about a month ago when you said you'd be willing to join us on the show, and so and a lot of folks and our listeners have been very excited to hear from you, and we've got a very big chat room today, so.
Excellent.
So let me just quickly go through our housekeeping. We're live on TalkShoe every Saturday. Then if you'd like to join, well, generally. If you'd like to join us live on the show, ask questions, you can call us at 724-444-7444. That's a U.S. area code. The call ID number is 12418 or our chatroom talkshoe.com. And you can stream the show live on our website, phpbbweekly.net. So since Tom has limited time, let's just get right on into it. And Tom, perhaps you can start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the PHPBB. Projects and the developers.
I think my involvement started probably 2000, 2001 or something like that. I was building my own site and decided to put a forum on it. I didn't really know what I was going to talk about in the forum, but so I found PHPBB, and then
isn't that how we all start? We start a forum and never know what it's going to be like.
Exactly. And so I put the forum on, but obviously the styling didn't match the site that I was putting together, so I kind of started hacking through the code and saw all these font tags everywhere and all this sort of stuff. And it was a real pain to try and make that work with my site design. So I thought, well, I'll start stripping all those bits out and applying a bit of CSS to it. And that kind of worked okay. But the forum kind of fitted in with the rest of my site design and everything else. And then I think it was a little bit after that, Paul, who was kind of running the show at that point, he sort of commented on the CSS version that I'd done, and basically invited me to try a design for the next version of it. So that's kind of how I got into the whole thing.
And that's Paul PSOTFX.
Yeah, and it's one of these kind of funny usernames that I never know actually how you pronounce out loud. So you always have kind of a mental pronunciation, but then when you actually try and say it in real life, it doesn't quite sound right. But yeah,
we've been dealing with that on the show ever since we started.
I mean, at the time, I was just writing up a PhD and working from home, doing a bit of freelance stuff, so I had a lot of time available to kind of hack around with this sort of thing. And so I don't know how long it took the sub server design, but it was a fair amount of work to get that going.
It's interesting because I've been going back, and I wasn't around at the time with PHPBB, but it's been said to me that, you know, SubSilver kind of, you know, has defined what a lot of forums use as sort of their general layout at this point. And so I'd kind of be interested to know some of the thought that went behind when you were designing the layout that would become SubSilver.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, the forums, the big forums around were, the vBulletin was still kind of the big commercial one, obviously, and then there's the Envision board thing, and there's some of the kind of CGI old school forums as well, and they all had the very sort of same layout, very tabular, and they all kind of looked the same, and I thought, well, none of them were really taking advantage of CSS, and it was still something that people were starting to get to grips with. It wasn't as widely used, obviously, as it is now. I just kind of found that you could put a little gradient background on table cells, and that suddenly changed the whole image of the forum, and suddenly after we released a kind of a preview that everyone else is copying that, which is quite fun. But yeah, it seemed to have quite an influence afterwards, which is nice.
David, do you have any question?
Well, yeah.
He's so excited.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You were also in charge of building ProSilver for PHBB3, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, it's a slightly different approach taken with that because I think with SubSilver, because at the time it was pretty different to the other designs that were going around, and because it was launched before the forum was fully launched, a lot of people copied it, and I think there's a bit of a feeling that our thunder was stolen in a way with the release of the forum. So with ProSilver, it's very much undercover for a quite long period of time. I think it's about 2004 I started working on that in terms of looking at a completely different approach, removing all tabular layout and actually using proper markup where it's appropriate. And also kind of looked at things like, well, is it necessary to have the avatar on the left-hand side, because that's the first thing you see? Should the conversation, the discussion actually be the most important thing? So that's the first thing you see on the left-hand side. So we move the avatar to the right and had a look at how we actually navigate the forum and organize everything else. So everything was basically looked at in detail, which is one of the reasons why it was such a long time to since kind of conception before release for that. So I think it was it was probably about a year or something that was kind of undercover in terms of the ProSilver design. So it was very, very much a kind of a stealth operation for a while. And we had a forum online that kind of the key developers were had access to, and I was kind of posting updates to the design and things as I worked on it. But it was a pretty big job.
It was around the time I was on the team, and it was so secret.
Yeah. It was so secret. You guys didn't really even know about it, did you, Douglas?
No. In fact, there were some of the people who did know about it who would, try to, make us jealous all the time. Teams have changed a bit since then.
Yeah, a little. So, the ProSilver, obviously, that was a style that it was kind of interesting. It was a polarizing style. People hated it or they loved it. It was kind of interesting.
A few weeks ago about, when it was on one of the most controversial things at the time when it came out in 07 was moving the user info on the right side. And a lot of people, insisted they liked it better on the left. These days, we seem to have other forums that are now copying that and putting the info on the right side. So it's becoming more popular in a way.
Yeah, it is very much a matter of taste like that. But I mean, one of the advantages of the newer design was the fact that it's all CSS driven in terms of the layout and everything else as well. You could very easily move it across, just changing a few styles. Whereas before, you'd have to actually kind of look into the code and change all the markup and everything else like that. So it was a much bigger deal. But yeah, I mean, even now, sometimes I prefer it on the left, sometimes I prefer it on the right. It's sort of, I can easily see why that was a bit of discussion at the time.
Yeah, I remember when we had just switched over to a ProSilver on phpbb.com, and I was talking with Naderman at the time, Nils Aderman, and I said, I'm not sure if I really like this ProSilver. He's like, give it a couple weeks, you'll like it. And he was right. And I think that happened with a lot of people where they were so used to everything being on the left and so shifting everything over, it was kind of like, people walking with a cane, and all of a sudden you took the cane and put it on the other hand, and they're still trying to walk with it on the one hand.
That's an interesting analogy, David.
they're stumbling around because they're expecting the cane to be on the right hand, and it's actually on the left now. So it was sort of that sort of thing with ProSilver. People were trying to get used to it, but I think it's really worked by now. Most people, I think, prefer ProSilver over even a lot of the other table designs. But it was certainly one of the big things that I really liked about it was the fact that it was just pure CSS driven design and not the table design. Which was nice because tables were never meant for design.
No, exactly.
So the was the development team the only team that actually had access to ProSilver at the time,
it was pretty much just the development team. There's quite a lot of discussion in terms of the approaches, but ultimately it was a case that in a way it was quite nice because I had free rein in terms of doing what I thought worked best, and then there's feedback in terms of saying, yeah, that works or that doesn't work. And but it was nice because there weren't really any sort of set guidelines to doing it. It was just do something and then get the feedback and then iterate it, which worked pretty well.
Also, kind of probably so with PHP 3, there's certainly more flexibility in the templating system that you're probably able to take advantage of quite nicely.
I mean, there was quite a lot of Turing frame in terms of needing extra things, because the templating system originally was fairly basic, but then having proper loop support and proper conditionals and all that sort of thing really helped kind of add the extra features that I thought should be there that we want in the templates.
So let me ask you this, going back to the beginning, sort of, when you started working with PHPBB.
In the beginning.
How did you end up actually working with the teams, working with the development teams? How did they invite you to the teams?
Originally it was from seeing what I'd done with version 1 of PHPBB on my site, and then I started being involved in the community and then created some initial sort of designs that I just posted up into the forums, and I said, "Oh yeah, we like that. Can we sort of have some more of that, or work with that?" And so I kind of got in that way. I think it's like anything really. If you sort of show an idea and a bit of commitment to kind of developing it and working with the other people, then they sort of invite you and take you on board and just take it from there.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And that was, I think that's how a lot of people obviously were invited to the teams at the time, was that
they
were really working and contributing a lot to the board, and the team would take notice and say, hey, you know, want to join the team.
Exactly. Those were very early days at that point. So if you got noticed, that was quite a big deal. You know, personally, I still have a place in my heart for SubSilver. So something about the blue and orange.
I'm not sure that Douglas has ever completely let go of PHPBB 2.
Well, either. Actually, I have, but I still like SubSilver.
It's the sort of thing that when you see it all the time, when you browsing sites and things, that you do get a bit sick of it after a while. That was one of the motivations of the ProSilver as well, something that would stay a bit fresher, a bit longer. But, yeah.
It's interesting. When we look at, on the show, we pick a style every week, and we try our best to identify styles that are, you know, kind of goes unique. But pretty much, when you look at PHPBB styles, it's pretty obvious that they come either from SubSilver or ProSilver. And so, for a thing like PHPBB, you don't very often see an instance where someone is completely trying to, like, rewrite the overall layout or design. They pretty much come down to one of your designs. So that's kind of what I'm interested in, having, you know, once or twice now completely gone through, started from scratch, and put together a completely new design for PHPBB. What's the process of doing that? How difficult is it to pull off?
I think actually possibly that's one of the things that if I had a chance to do it again, that I'd take a slightly different approach, because the focus of ProSilver was to try and get everything in pure CSS and sort of looking as polished as possible. But I think one of the disadvantages is because the CSS is so complicated and so much of it, it's actually quite difficult to kind of start with a clean slate and create something completely new. So that's probably why there's lots of derivations of the kind of the basic style. So I think possibly a more pragmatic approach in the future would be to have something that's I think a lot. One of the things you can do is obviously take advantage of the sort of CSS3 things to get a lot of the nice bits like rounded corners and things, that there's a lot of extra stuff put in ProSilver to achieve that effect. But to try and get something that's much simpler for people to customize and and completely rebuild from scratch to their own design. And I think that would be a good approach for kind of the next iteration of the PHP styling, because it is pretty complicated, especially when you go to the user control panel, that sort of thing. That if you want to restyle something properly, it's a lot of work to go through everything and look where the styles are applied and how they're inherited in other bits and other places. And you find you might change one style somewhere and then it has a knock-on effect somewhere else completely. And then you go to and forward, changing one bit to fix one area, but then it breaks another area. So it is a fairly time-consuming process.
On your website, subblue.com, you actually have done quite a bit of design work for a number of different websites, and you also, you know, apparently have other projects and some of the other stuff you do. How's working with PHPBB sort of compare to working with other sites or engine systems, things like that?
I think one of the interesting things is actually that by my profession isn't as a designer, it's as a developer. And design is just something I do as an interest. I mean, my job's technical director of development agency called TikTok Family in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And we the past 3.5 years we've been doing it's pure Ruby on Rails development. If I haven't actually written a line of PHP code in about 3.5-4 years.
You did make some commits to the CVS for PHP.
Yeah, I did. That was quite a long time ago now. so my sort of daily work is actually developing in Ruby and Rails, and we actually have we've got a couple of designers in the company that do all the actual design work itself. So I haven't, other than my own personal stuff, I haven't done any design for quite a while now. It's the actual coding that is the sort of bread and butter now. One of the things on the site is sort of outside the sort of web development, doing a lot of sort of generative. It's my son's joined us here.
Hi.
we've got the computer in the living room, so it's trying to keep the kids out. It's a bit tricky, but
are you teaching him how to program yet?
one just went through there is only two, so it's maybe a little bit early, but he's getting hold of Hang of the DS and it's CBeebies website and BBC News, BBC site, so
yeah,
won't be long.
So you talk about how you're mainly a developer and a sort of a designer on the side. What do you do as your day job?
Well, the day job is developing the Ruby on Rails websites. So basically, as my main role in the company has been developing the content management system that we use for all our client sites. And we've got about 150 odd sites now that we've used this for. There's a lot of, in terms of the sectors we work with, there's a lot of sort of charities, schools, and sort of further education institutions, and a few government organizations as well. So it's, in the current climate, it's been actually very good for us, because these sort of areas have been least affected by the downturn. So we've actually been incredibly busy. It's coding Ruby and Rails, and it's pretty much what I spend all my day working hours doing.
If you could give some advice to style designers out there,
that was my class question, David. Go ahead.
What would that advice be?
I think first off, you have to think about the user experience. You have to think about how a person is going to use the site, how they're going to expect to navigate through the site, through the design. Because ultimately, if you get frustrated using a site, then you're going to go elsewhere. And once you've kind of nailed the process down in terms of where you're going to position things, how are you going to expect the process to go through in terms of either navigating the site, writing something, posting something, then you kind of approach the design aspect. And more often than not, keeping it simpler, it is the better it is, I think. I think everyone has a tendency at some point to over design. And so often if it looks too complicated, cut things back and then cut things back again. The other approach is actually start with something very minimal and then slowly add things. And then if you add something, it detracts from the original kind of idea you're aiming for, then you remove it and try something else. But I think definitely the user experience first, and then you start kind of coloring it in and sprucing it up. Mm-hmm.
Do you think you might be doing more work with the PHP BB teams in the future?
I don't know. I think it'd be nice to be able to do it, but the problem is it does take a huge amount of time.
I'm sure.
And I just don't have that time anymore, especially not with the family plus full time job and everything else. But it would certainly be a nice thing to be able to do if possible. But I don't know if it's going to be possible.
David, do you have any other questions? Otherwise, you should probably let Tom get back to his family.
I can't think of any at the moment.
Well, we could certainly go into a lot more, depth and discussion about, style design and stuff, but we don't want to keep Tom away too long because I think his kids are hankering after him.
I think they're just about sitting down for tea, actually, so it was probably okay for the 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
Well, have you been keeping tabs on the developments with PHPBB recently?
I haven't actually been following it at all, yeah. To be perfectly honest. It's kind of I logged in again earlier on today for the first time in a few months, so I'm afraid I'm kind of slightly out of touch with what's going on in the community.
No worries there. It's actually, as long as you're still here, convention, it's probably something you don't get as much credit for. Is apparent, according to your site anyway, you're the one who developed the smileys used in PHP BB2 and PHP BB3.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let's be honest, I've seen them all over the internet.
It does make you smirk when you kind of see them on completely different sites that you think, oh, well, I know where they came from originally. Because it was the case that a new set of smileys had to be developed for PHP BB2, so I put some together. And a few very similar to the original ones, obviously, but sort of recreated pixel by pixel, and they seem to have spread much further afield now, which is quite nice as well.
Absolutely. It's kind of a little fun fact to think about. Let's see. Anyone in our chat room? Yeah. So someone in the chat room asked what's next after Pro Silver and when, but yeah, there's no plans right now for anything after Pro Silver at the moment, I believe.
No, I mean, Sorry.
Go ahead, David.
What was your sort of your most favorite moment in working with PHPBB or the PHPBB group? The most fulfilling.
We're getting desperate when we ask questions like that.
I think ultimately the reward is once finally the veil has been removed and you can show people what you've been working on in secret and for so long a period of time, and then finally you can release it to the wild and sort of hear the feedback. I think that's the ultimate motivation, really. That's the most satisfying bit, when you can finally sort of show what you've done and hopefully people like it. I mean, a lot of people won't, but it's good to get feedback, whatever. So, yeah, that was good to kind of have the final reveal, final launch and things.
So do you get to use PHPBB much on any of the sites that you work on?
No, we haven't actually. There hasn't really been a call for the sorts of sites we've developed to put a forum on there. And the few cases where we have, it's actually just been a very simple thing that we've been able to integrate into kind of our standard CMS functionality. So it hasn't needed a completely different setup. And it would also be very complicated to kind of mix and match Ruby on Rails site with a PHP BB kind of infrastructure as well. So, yeah.
That's what we need, RORPB.
Well, I mean, there's a forum called Beast that was released about a year and a half ago that's kind of the most popular Rails forum, but there's in no way the sort of scale like PHBBB. It just hasn't seemed to be a kind of desire to write forum software in Ruby and Rails. Whereas I think in PHP, it's there's more forum software packages out there than you can possibly ever want, I think, really. But
here's a question from our chat room. Syntax Error 90 asks, what sort of design concepts would you keep in mind if you were going to do a future style?
Well, I think a lot of the so the way that the web design has changed with the sort of Web 2 whole thing, sort of much more CSS, Ajax, and all that sort of thing.
HTML5, I mean, CSS3, all
yeah,
this funny stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff.
I mean, there's a lot more stuff we could take advantage of. And it's kind of in terms of like rounded corners, gradients, all that sort of thing. It's with Pro Silver, even with Sub Silver to a certain extent, that's kind of, it was almost pre-Web 2 thinking in a way that was done in the previous Web 1 approach. So it'd be nice to kind of sort of take advantage of Web 2 ideas and things properly this time, next time.
So here's something that you probably had to battle more than work with for a while, but explain how you were, the process of getting Pro Silver working with IE6 and that whole process of debugging it on IE6 making sure that everything worked properly.
Yeah, I mean that's the constant nightmare battle with for any web developer, web designer. It's the approach I take with anything else is that you develop it for the good browsers, you develop it for Firefox, Safari, and so on. Get it working in standards compliant browsers and getting everything validating and everything else like that. And then at that point, when the site is done as it should be in proper browsers, then you look at IE6 and often not it's actually very little you need to do to kind of tweak it, especially when you know that there's a few tricks that you can put in straight away, and then just having an IE6 conditional style sheet just to keep everything separate that way is definitely an approach. But I think it's a bit of a trap if you try and get it working in IE6 too early on, because you find as the style evolves, you can change things, the CSS changes and everything else, and things that hacks you put in or workarounds you put in for IE6 early on might no longer be applicable, but you still have them hanging around. So it's definitely best to wait to the very end and then worry about IE6, if you have to worry about IE6 at all, which I hope we won't much longer. But hey.
I think even a lot of sites are moving away from it. I mean, hey, look at YouTube.
YouTube
will give you a big old message if you're working on IE6 saying, hey, use something different. Use Chrome.
Oh, good.
Hey, we're part of Chrome. What do you know? What a coincidence.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's only Google.
Yeah, but really it's IE6 is probably the most difficult aspect, at least for me, for both design and development. But
certainly when it's more of a personal site or a niche area that you can you can probably look at your target audience as well, look at stats and see what people are using. I mean, certainly if you're running a site for a forum for a specific group of users, then you might find that majority of them are actually using sort of sensible browsers, so you don't need to worry about the IE6 thing too much. But obviously for a kind of a global style that's going to be the default thing, then it was an issue that we had to look at.
Just added Michael Cottingham, who's been filling in for David for the past 6 months or so, and former support team member, and he asked if he could join in on the call. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hey, did you want to ask something? Or
I just got tired of talk sheet crashing.
Oh. Okay, just kidding.
Well, that's one way to fix it.
Beg to me.
Now, Michael, you were on the team the same time that Pro Silver was being developed. Weren't you?
Yes, I was actually support team leader at the time.
Mm. Did you have, part of the time. Did you have access to the secret board?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, that was fun. What was it like working with Tom at the time?
It was definitely interesting. I didn't get much input because I didn't have much to say. I'm not much into design. I'm more in back-end design. But it was a lot of fun to see how things changed over time. And Tom was actually kind of a fun guy to work with.
Cool.
And I was, I was on the team not long after ProSilver was actually, it was right before PHP v3 Gold was released that I became on the team. So I was on the team at the same time, but I never actually saw Tom post anything. Well, no, wait. I think maybe one or two posts.
Yeah, very, very, not very many, certainly.
Certainly. So now, obviously, a lot of the challenges with design have to do with IE6, if not probably the biggest challenges is with IE6. But here going forward, now that IE7 and IE8 have been released, they're able to support quite a bit more. Have you found many challenges with IE8, for example?
Not really with IE8. One of the interesting things I actually found with IE7, in fact, just last week. Obviously, from a design point of view, one of the good things that not having to worry about IE6 is you can use transparent PNGs, so you can have sort of proper 24-bit PNGs that you blend into backgrounds, and it sort of opens up huge areas for kind of design rather than having to worry about transparent GIFs and then matting them against the proper background color. Then if the background color changes, it looks ugly and things like that. But IE7 has issues with that, which I don't know if IE8 still does, but if you have a layer that has a transparent PNG on either 24-bit PNG, but you have some sort of transition, like an alpha transition as it fades up, IE7 actually just completely doesn't support that at all. You get a great big black box around the transparent bit, which is something I hadn't come across until very recently. But so there's still a few challenges there, but it's not nearly as bad. Mm-hmm. I hope it'll get better as well.
The Cyber Alien, do you recognize that name?
Mm, yeah.
He's in our chat room right now.
He just said, I don't think I've ever seen Cyber Alien in a chat room. So
no, he's joined us.
Welcome
today.
For the first one. Okay, IE7 still has horrible CSS support. It's still a nightmare, and transparent PNG doesn't work properly with it, especially small ones.
Now,
I did not know that about IE7. Small PNGs did not work, or transparent PNGs did not still work with IE7.
No kidding.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot more work to do, I think, on it. So, well, IE8, hopefully. I haven't really worried too much about IE8 because a lot of the sites a lot of the clients we develop for are still on IE6, unfortunately. So, IE8 is a kind of a bit of a dream for them.
Wow.
I take it you're probably more of a Firefox type of person, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, well, for development, for daily use, I use Safari. So.
Oh, Safari, okay.
Yeah.
So, Tom, what's your development environment? Your computer system and development environment.
Yeah.
David always does this to every developer.
Hey, why not?
Everybody.
Yeah, I've got an iMac, 24-inch iMac, for actually writing code. I use TextMate, Firefox with Firebug for sort of testing pages, and then for design stuff, Photoshop. And that's pretty much it. I use for kind of database stuff. I use SQL Pro, nice little app for the Mac. And then we've also got an installation of Parallels that we've got sort of the multi IE, IE6, IE7 setup on. And that's pretty much all I need for web development, certainly.
That's nice. So let's see. Have you tried CSS Edit? Application?
Very briefly. One of the guys in the office actually uses that, and I was pretty impressed with it. It's something that I think you need to really push yourself to use to actually appreciate it and get into the workflow of it. Whereas I'm too set in the way with TextMaker for the moment. So
I think I develop with Aptana, ZenStudio, TextMate, and CSS Edit open simultaneously when I develop.
Yeah.
Just my four. Those are like my four crutches, sort of. But now your site, you have what looks like some 3D designs on there. Do you do 3D?
Yeah, well, there's I've been sort of playing around with Blender, and there's a nice little app that was released fairly recently called Structure Synth, which is an open source program, but it's basically a 3D modeling, but it's all completely procedural. And I don't know if you've possibly heard of Context Free. It's a 2D graphics program. It's been out for a while. I think it's Context Free.org. I can't remember. But this is basically a 3D version of that. So you have very simple rules, and one rule calls another rule, which then recursively calls the rule again. So you might have a rule that generates a sphere, and then you put it creates another sphere, but displaced slightly, and that creates another sphere displaced. So you can very with a few simple rules, you can create some sort of really complicated, interesting structures. And so I've been playing around. That's kind of an area I've been interested in, just on the personal side, kind of the generative graphics and all that sort of stuff. So and then things have a lot of the stuff I've done have been rendered in CineFlow, which is an open source rendering system. So
syntax there.
Oh, Michael.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I heard Tom mention Blender, and I used to play with Blender myself. But how much do you do with Blender in terms of extending it with Python and doing game development, that type of thing? Not necessarily games, but extending it.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I'm really just in the process of getting into a bit more. I've got lots of ideas in terms of just little Python scripts for kind of generative graphics type stuff that I haven't yet had a chance to fully explore, but it's certainly a very interesting area. And with Blender 2.5 coming out reasonably soon as well, I think it's going to be a real real contender in terms of a very good application to be able to use.
Nice.
Syntax error, Samuel. He said, any lightwave for Maya and 3D Studio Max? I can answer, actually, the 3D Studio Max does not work on the Mac. Obviously, it will work through Parallels.
No, that's right. Yeah, I mean, quite a few years ago when I had a PC, I had access to a PC with Max on it. So did a few sort of test modeling and rendering stuff with Max. But one of the packages I've been getting to quite a lot recently is Houdini. This Houdini Apprentice, and you can download that for free, and you get a watermark on it. But it's basically the entire full package, but the Houdini Apprentice HD, it's like, I don't know, it's about $100 or something, and you get basically for non-commercial stuff, you get the full package that which is the same as Houdini Master or something, and it's just like the sort of thing that you use in the big studios, so it's a really good package, but it's massively complicated, so it takes a lot of time to really get into, but it's great for just kind of a hobbyist type thing, hacking around, and it's great fun.
Seems to me like this conversation means that the next style should be PHPBB3D. That'd be cool. I'd love to see what that would be like.
Back in the day before I became a developer, I worked a lot with 3D and did 3D animation and stuff. The program that I used was Strata 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Which was quite nice. That was back in the day before it was Strata 3D CX. So that was back, Mac OS 9, right, Mac OS 9, right when they switched to Mac OS X 10. So that was kind of interesting back in the day. That was quite a bit of a challenge to actually be able to model in it, but it sure had good rendering. It was like photographic, picture-perfect rendering. It was really nice. Have you worked with Strata at all?
No, I'm not with that, no.
Good program.
There's your answer, David. Out.
Yep. All right, I'm out of questions.
I am too. Yeah, well, I just say, Tom, did you want to, you know, give any other comments or a plug for yourself or anything?
No, I'm just privileged to be invited on the show. It's been interesting having a chat. Well,
we're very privileged to hear from you, especially, you know, like you said, you're busy and don't get around on phpbb.com very often. So it's very great to be able to hear from you. So thanks for coming on.
Sure, pleasure.
And thanks to your family for letting you push them away for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. They're tucking into the lounge, so that's fine.
Yeah, and you can... You can find Tom at subblue.com. And thanks again.
Okay, cheers, son.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, bye.
Little more to talk about on the show. Something I would be interested in, something that crossed my mind, David, while we were talking. You asked Tom a question about, you know, if he worked with forums, with some of the other sites, and, you know, said probably not. And that brought to my mind something from OSCON when I was there, essentially the day before you guys came. And I did a little presentation at their OSCamp, which is kind of like a bar camp part of OSCON, about, you know, building community involvement in open source projects. And so I used a lot of examples from PHPBB. It was just, you know, something I did off the top of my head. Something that someone asked me, though, they about, you know, forums in general, and they were interested in asking with, you know, the emergence of these things like Twitter and blogs and podcasts and all, you know, all the other means of communication. They were asking, you know, is forums use declining? You know, is it kind of going down? Do you see that happening in the future where, you know, fewer people will be using forums like PHPBB and things like that?
I think
discuss that idea.
I think that forums will not go away for a long time. There's way too many sites that continue to use it, and, you know, it's easy to get them set up. It's easy to run them. It's easy to
It's easy to get them set up. I'd say that it takes a commitment to run them, though.
It does. To really make a successful community, of course, it does take a commitment.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, if you want your own community, it's important to have that. Whereas, you know, it's like, you know, you have a lot of social networking sites that are popping up between MySpace and Facebook, and then there's every site under the moon now that's fairly large is coming up with its own way of doing social networking. I mean, look at Last.fm, Last.fm. Which has its own way of networking the individuals who listen to music, internet radio, and that's just one way. And then you have, obviously, TalkShoe, which has its own community. So you have all these sorts of things that they have either a community or a way to, like, socially network people within the site and be able to communicate between them, you know, adding friends and making comments and posting stuff and things like that. But a forum is sort of the basic way of doing that. For forums to continue to survive, I think it's important for the bulletin boards to be able to evolve to people's needs, because it's still going to be an easier thing to set up and run, I think, than a social networking site. I mean, if you're a Joe site owner, or, you know, you have a company site, and you want to make sure that you can collaborate between the site owners and people that work for the team to the users, a bulletin board is still the best thing to set up, not necessarily your own social networking site.
Yeah.
But bulletin boards are going to have to be able to evolve. And I think if you think about Google Wave, I don't know if you had a chance to walk the presentation.
I actually watched that this past week. Out of curiosity, and that, boy, that's interesting.
What's interesting about Google Wave, I thought, was really cool, and that it actually related to bulletin boards a lot more than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't know what to think about Google Wave when I first saw it, but it was kind of interesting how it's like, if you post on bulletin boards, you want to be able to access that all the time, and you want to be able to access it in a format where you don't have to. Okay, so right now, the way that each individual will access bulletin boards is that you have to go to the site and make the conscious effort to read and or contribute to it. And one of the biggest ways that's done is Google. You're searching for something. You're searching for an answer. You find the answer at a bulletin board, and you want to possibly give back to that. So you post replies and help other people out. And sometimes those people get involved at a deeper level and end up becoming moderators or something. But now with Google Wave, it sort of makes everything, all the other sites that you work with.
Sorry.
That fun phone.
I always forget to unplug it every time.
All the other sites that you work with, you know, all the sites that you would normally visit to communicate with, is now centralized in one location on your, you know, on a main section on Google Wave.
Yeah.
It's centralized, so you can communicate back to all those different boards, and you could potentially have a whole lot more boards that you would regularly visit and contribute to through Google Wave. And so that could be a way that it will actually, that Google Wave could expand the usage of systems like PHPBB mm-hmm. and bulletin boards altogether.
It's interesting because, sorry to cut you off, but a lot of these tools are kind of just introducing new ways to communicate. And, you know, I'd kind of give an example. It's not directly – there's actually this thing I've also found with WordPress. They have a thing called P2, and it's kind of like cross – it's kind of halfway between a blog, Twitter, and sort of a communication of a forum, community type of thing, in that it's not, you know, it's like a blog, but, you know, people kind of – or comments, and people post them kind of like Twitter, but without the 140-character limit, and they can, you know, have threads, they can reply to each other, have sort of an ongoing discussion, and it, of course, you know, has all the Ajax, so it's, you know, it's automatic, it shows up right away, kind of like Google Wave, but obviously not as extendable, but more blog-based and sort of not. So it's very interesting kind of an extension of, you know, blogging that for to make it more of a community-oriented type of thing as opposed to a one-way conversation. So, you know, mm-hmm. all these different ways and tools available to create different kinds of communication.
And Google Wave is really designed as to be sort of your centralized point of communication for everything mm-hmm. that you're doing, which I really like that idea, but I don't want to see it take over from social networks. I don't want to see it take over from PHP, you know, bulletin boards.
And Lord knows if it'll take over from email.
It will not. Yeah. I can tell you right now.
It's a reimagining of email, but boy, that's going to be a hard one to beat out.
But you know what it can do with email is it can enable you to – at least I should hope it would do this – is enable you to plug in email into it. And the same thing with bulletin boards. I'd like to see bulletin boards be able to plug into something like that so that your communication center is centralized. Like right now, when I think about my communication center, it's between – I've got my Twitter application. I've got Skype. I have – my email, I've got IRC, and then I've got my web browser for accessing all the different forums that I communicate with. And so the idea is to centralize everything, all of that, into one location and one way of communicating, one way of thinking. And it really is sort of a mind shift than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's kind of – I think all these new bits of communication, you know, Twitter is an example of something that's – it's taken off. I've been using it for 2.5 years, but it's so hard to explain Twitter to people. And when you first explain it, it just sounds dumb. You're posting 140 characters or less on what are you doing? That sounds like the dumbest thing in the world. And yet, once you start doing it, you kind of really discover how much of a different means of communication it is. And you can make it as ubiquitous in your life as you want.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting. The concept itself of Twitter is dumb, in my opinion. I mean, really. I mean, you think about it. It's like, okay, are you going to – you're going onto a site where you're posting up to 140 characters of what you are doing right now.
Yeah.
Why the heck should you do that? Well, my answer, at least for myself, was you don't. That's not what you use it for.
Uh-huh.
You use it to communicate information. Use it to communicate ideas, to find ideas, find things that you would normally not see in people who you follow. And so, like, I will not follow somebody who just posts something like, I'm using the bathroom. Okay, we really needed to know
that. That is a little far. I find it useful for, like, whereas for, you know, maybe making comments of things that are short. I've found it sort of like the extension of a blog, for example, whereas I use a blog for long entries, long complete thoughts. In the past, I also wanted a way to express sort of much shorter thoughts than that, and now I just relegate it to Twitter because that's doable there, and it's spontaneous and it fills the need, because I found it fills the need of, I used to talk to myself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. I used to talk to myself. I do it a lot less often because the things I would say to myself, I can now kind of say on Twitter.
That's really strange.
Yeah, but
Douglas.
Yeah, but it's talking to myself is, because I don't really care who listens to me on Twitter. I have followers. I don't care.
One quick thing here.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
Going back to what you said about someone posting personal information, you can actually find people that have their toilets talking to Twitter or their chairs talking to Twitter.
Uh-huh.
For example.
You should see R2-D2 on Twitter.
Well, there's someone set up their office chair to talk to Twitter whenever their visitor passes gas. So...
Okay. I think the point, though, from the original question is, and this is kind of what I said, there's other means of communication coming, but I don't think we've seen one yet that will replace the community interaction of a forum. Because it's really the one where it's about where the conversation is what people come there for. It's not responding to a blog. It's not, individual tweets, as it were. It really is, have a specific place to have conversation and interaction and free sharing of ideas.
Right. That's what I like about it. It's like when you are many times I'm searching for an answer to something. I've downloaded a program and something doesn't work. Something failed. I got some sort of error, and I take that error and I do search in Google, and invariably it'll come up with a result in a bulletin board with this discussion of, I had this problem too, this is what I did, this was, and somebody else replied, oh yeah, I had that problem too, and this is what I did to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, and that's just one of many examples of what, a bulletin board software is really used for these days. But I don't see anything that really will replace that or ever go away. I mean, a blog cannot replace that.
Oh, it's a different purpose.
A wiki, which is excellent for documentation and things like that, is still, do that, but it's a lot harder in a conversational sense. It's not a conversation tool.
It's a crowdsourcing tool, which is different because you're getting a bunch of people's input to produce a single result, but it's not oriented to conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So... Now when,
so there's, there's one of those awkward silences that 3DI talks about. Was it 3DI? Somebody.
It seems to me, I'd say that if anything, having all these other bits of communication things did lessen the forum use, I'd prefer the word refine, because if anything, the only competition that it takes away from forums are things that where the forum solution was not really intended to be that solution anyway. So if anything, it might maybe refine the space of people using forums like PHPBB to the point down a little bit and bring it more towards what the actual intention is, which is, have a community, a successful community discussion among members.
Right. Yeah. And that, like I said, I don't think that will go away. But at the same time, I do think it is really important for the bulletin board software to be able to evolve to the current needs of the web.
Yeah.
And the web is really expanding in as far as what it will be able to do. I mean, look at HTML5.
Mm-hmm.
And you have web applications like Google Wave that are coming out that really utilize that HTML5 to be able to do a lot more.
You've seen Google, the idea that you would have to actually – they've seemed to have gotten to the point where you should not have to have a new page load to do stuff, or as little as possible in a way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know what's interesting? When you think about Google Mail,
mm-hmm.
and you load up the Google Mail interface,
Gmail, yeah.
What strikes you about it?
As in... I use Mailplane, which is Gmail with inside wrapped around a an UI, application. But
right. I mean, Google Mail is a UI, but it's a web app as opposed to actually a computer application. But does it seem fast?
Yes.
No, I mean, Google Mail and the interface itself, it seems fast?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what's interesting about that is that it loads so much stuff initially.
Yeah, it takes a while to come up.
Yeah, it does. But what you know, when anybody thinks about Google Mail, it's a really fast application, but it actually loads a ton of stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it illustrates how for a long time it was thought out that to be able to get something to be fast, you had to make it light. Well, here's sort of a critique on PHPBB at the same time. Okay.
Yeah.
PHPBB is light. It's very light. It might be one of the lightest bulletin board solutions out there.
Mm-hmm.
PHPBB 3. Yet, it's not fast.
Yeah.
It's not faster than vBulletin, considering the way that you would reply in a vBulletin type bulletin board, because even though vBulletin is significantly heavier, they allow the user interaction to be faster. And even though PHPBB is significantly lighter, less server intensive, less client intensive, it makes the user interaction slower because of the interface. And it would be better to load up more data, more code initially, and speed up the user interaction than it would be to actually make people go through the process of the slower interface, which is what happens now. Which is why I'm hoping PHPBB will pick up pick up jQuery.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, now I'm thinking, well, an AJAX library, but not really just any AJAX library. I think jQuery, as far as an open source JavaScript library, that I think is the best in my not so humble opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that will be, if we were talking last week, changes to the PHPBB development phase and kind of the first early mentions of PHPBB 4, and out of the discussion kind of came the fact that although there's already some significant changes to the PHPBB architecture in Subversion, that now will not be part of AshCreas 3.1, and it will instead be relegated to PHPBB 4. But I think that I would agree, PHPBB really ought to take a look for the next significant increment, which is PHPBB 4, still a few years down the road. But, the internet the web has matured quite a bit just since 2007 when 3 came out, and definitely since it was originally developed, dating back to 2003. And I think that the expectations of a modern web application have changed a bit, and I think it's a good idea. PHPBB should become a little bit more of a modern web application. So obviously, it's still PHP-based, but that doesn't mean that it has to be coded exclusively in PHP, PHP, HTML, and a little bit of CSS. Get some jQuery would be a good idea. Get something in there to make a little bit more interactive and focus on how easy it is for users to be able to accomplish just the basic tasks that they need to accomplish.
Right. I was thinking about one of the things that Tom Bedard said, or better. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name.
I did it better. So
okay.
He'll email us.
I think it was Tom Bedard. But anyway, one of the interesting things about what he talked about when they were designing ProSilver was thinking about the user interaction first. What will make it easiest on the user to actually navigate through the software? In what way can we design this so that it's intuitive, so that it's easy to use, so that grandma can use it? I like to say that because grandma is going to have the hardest time interacting with a interface.
That's the way you test any new website,
right? Yeah. Exactly. That's where you find out where your usability problems are,
mm-hmm.
and it's really important to find those problems and fix them. And one of the things is that when going through and interacting, asking the user if they are really sure they want to do something that they intend to do is really dumb.
That's a Vista syndrome. Cancel or allow.
It really is.
Like, oh, I don't know. I only clicked the button to do it.
Yeah.
Most people don't second guess themselves like that. I mean, some people do.
I'll read a couple of the. There's actually the chat room has kind of come alive.
Oh,
in the last few minutes.
Good day for that to happen.
Let Cyber Alien said jQuery is awesome because. I lost my place. Okay, no need for designs. Just output simple structure and use jQuery to build design around it. It would make PHP be easy to design and to mod. And that it certainly would. I think there's actually a lot of mods that try and change the way that the functionality is run to try and make it like that. But really, the point at which it's going to be easy is when a PHP 4 comes out with a library, a JavaScript library, that
we hope
enables the user to do more in less time.
Obviously, we're speculating, and there's no set list for PHP before yet, and David's not on the team or anything, so this is our wish list. This is our bucket list.
Well, this is here's the thing, though. PHP 3.1, that is on the list.
Really?
Did you know that? Yes, it's on the list.
Oh, the libraries. Yeah, I knew that.
Well, you know, that, and that's why. That's, you don't just put the library in there for the heck of it.
Oh, really? I don't know. I thought, you know, we'll get a library in now. Maybe 3.2 has some branch libraries to go with it. And
yeah, exactly. Well, so,
you know, check out some books.
That's what it's designed for. That's what it's meant to be put in there for. So, and that's why I really like the architecture that they're developing for 3.1, which is now going to be 4.0 in reality, because 3.1 is a feature release, a step up from 3.0, which we'll talk about, and I hope we will have time to talk about that, and if we should start talking about it right away.
Well, let's move on to some of the other stuff we have to talk about today. We don't want to keep the show going too long, so first of all, we don't have a modder style of the week this week because of this. We had a lot to discuss, but we do have the results of our last poll question. This is probably the best poll we've ever had. It's certainly the funniest. It was, what would be the coolest CAPTCHA plugin to have installed on your board? We had 18 votes over the last 2 weeks, and a lot of people told me they were very hard choices because I just had so much fun making up funny answers. The top response, with 10 votes, 56% of the vote, was, if they're using Internet Explorer 6, who cares if they're a bot or not? You know what to do with them. That's certainly relevant considering what we talked about earlier. Three votes, 17% for, ask the user what CAPTCHA stands for. If they know the correct answer, they're probably a robot.
That's probably true.
David, what does CAPTCHA stand for?
You know, I will have to look it up to tell you.
Someone in the chat room, what does CAPTCHA stand for?
It's like completely automated.
No, it's not. Let's see. Somebody, did you miss the first person to tell us what CAPTCHA stands for in the chat room gets an imaginary prize.
Yeah, but they will have to look it up, I bet you.
Well, I'm too lazy to look it up. Topdown says he wants to drink this to prove you're not a bot. I think that would require the USB wine attachment, David. Ah, Syntax Error 90 gets the win. Completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart.
See, I was on to it.
Yeah, okay.
You said no, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'm wrong there. Am I missing something? No, I had it.
Darn it. Okay, Sam and David, you're both robots, and I'm obviously human. Two votes, 11% for, ask them to explain why the front really fell off. That will weed out bots and Australian senators. David, you're doomed. One vote, 6%, for attempt a Jedi mind trick on the user. If it doesn't work, they're probably a robot or too smart to feel at home on your board anyway.
That's too challenging a feature.
Yeah. One vote, 6%, for burn them at the stake. If they survive, they're probably a robot. Well, it worked at the Salem witch trials, right? Little history for you. We had one other answer someone submitted. They said, pick the birdie CAPTCHA. I'd love to know what that is.
Birdie doesn't, you know what that couch is? Birdie doesn't let bots in.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
I don't know. It could be the. I can think of a capture where it shows a bunch of birdies, but one of them is Domokin. And it's like, pick the one that's not birdie. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fun. Last little bit we want to talk about. We're making a formal announcement on the show today that will be showing up on our website in about little under an hour from now. However, this past week we did some research and discussion about moving off of TalkShoe. This has happened before. Obviously, you know, PHPB has been linked to TalkShoe since the day one, 2.5 years ago, and back when I decided I want to try a TalkCast on this new thing called TalkShoe. And so I launched a thing called it. Made it about the only thing I really knew anything about, which was PHPBB, and PHPBB Weekly's kind of taken off from there. And, you know, the last time we tried moving away from TalkShoe was a miserable failure. This is, you know, almost 2 years ago, David, you suggested we do this thing called Skypecasts.
Mm-hmm.
Remember this?
Which was also a miserable failure.
And it doesn't even exist anymore. They killed Skypecasts about last October. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's no wonder it was a terrible, terrible...
Yeah.
A good idea and a terrible, terrible implementation.
Absolutely. So that sent us back to TalkShoe, and we kind of stuck around here for quite a while.
Mostly because we didn't have any other choice.
Yeah. Well, however, we've had a number of people who have been saying, you know, we should move away from TalkShoe, pick something better. You know, obviously, if you've been seeing our chat room today, there's been nothing but consistent conversation about people having it crash in their browsers. I don't know why. I have had no problems with TalkShoe since 2007. It's been great for me, but it's...
Let's see. Well, it depends on what you're using. Like, I was using the web client on Firefox 3.5 today, and I had it crash on me twice.
I'm using the web client on Firefox 3.5 right now.
That's what makes TalkShoe so bad. It works for some people, and it doesn't work for others. I don't know why. So I switch back over to Safari, and it works perfectly.
Maybe it's because I never end up using the streaming audio, because I'm always causing the audio.
That's why, because I don't think I paused my audio on the Firefox 3.5.
That's it. Okay.
So, but I did back in Safari. I went, oh, yeah,
but streaming. Even then, you know, we had some people who came on the show for the first time today, and the first thing word out of their mouth was, is the live audio quality always this bad compared to the episodes?
Yes, it is always this bad compared to the episodes.
That's why I've been recording the episodes locally for the last 100 episodes.
Yeah, that's really important. So,
So we did some looking around, and, you know, one of the first things I looked at was Blog Talk Radio, which is sort of the nearest competitor to TalkShoe. But, you know, they insert ads. They don't let me schedule episodes anytime I want. And if you want to be able to, you know, record locally, their audio quality is not much better than TalkShoe, and if you want to record locally, you have to pay them like $40 a month. You know, we're a low-budget show, so that's out of the question. So
yeah,
okay. We've actually decided to think a little outside of the box, and we are moving to Ustream. And now, you know, Ustream.tv, if you've probably heard of it, it's very popular. It's mainly for streaming video, but we are not going to stream video. At least we're not normally going to stream video. There's always the possibility that we may do something special every, like, once in a blue moon. David wants to try his hand at making a chocolate cake. I've already done that. It would be cool if I had video at that time, but that was kind of awkward. But one of the great things about Ustream, and we did a sort of a test run that we didn't publicize too much, but we ran that last Wednesday evening, and they actually have a very nice streaming architecture, very compatible with various browsers, very good live audio quality, and video quality.
Very good,
too.
Very, very good. And
yeah.
This is my favorite part. Let's do a test on the chat room. Okay.
Oh dear.
Yes, this is what we did on the test on Ustream, but I'm going to do it here on TalkShoe as well. Okay, I want everybody, don't hit enter.
Oh, this is fun.
But type this into the chat. Type hello world into the chat.
But don't hit enter.
But don't hit enter. until I tell you to. And we're going to time how long it takes.
I've got my timer ready.
Okay. But I also use the clock on my computer to tell. So we're going to have everybody hit enter in about 7 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, now. So let's see how long it takes for all the hello worlds to come in.
All right. That was the first one in 5 seconds.
5, 6,
like, you know, here they come. 9, 10,
okay.
Different speeds. On Ustream, isn't
it interesting?
On Ustream, we had the hello worlds come in within 2 seconds of David saying it, and they all at the same time.
All at the same time, within 2 seconds.
Here we had like 5 came in within 5 to 10 seconds. It varied.
Yeah, yeah, isn't that interesting? So that means that when you type something in the chat, on the Ustream chat, then it will immediately show up, you know, within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
For us to see,
well,
which is great, because
vice versa, when we say something, you'll hear it within 2 seconds of us saying it. Whereas right now, we're saying
you're hearing us. That means many of you are hearing us at a delay of almost 10 seconds,
5 to 10 seconds, depending on where you are.
Mm-hmm. Half of them were posted.
Downtown said that half of them were posted for him before you finish your count.
Yeah, I think Jeff's came in about 11 seconds or so.
You were the last one. So, you know, it's whatever you got. So, yeah.
That's probably why his talk shoe works so well. It just buffers. It buffers better than everybody else.
So, anyway, let me get this. We have an announcement. It's already written up. It'll be posted at 11, at the next hour. But here's what the deal is going to be. It's not going to be a video podcast, but we're going to be streaming live on Ustream, which means we are leaving TalkShoe, starting with the next live actually, just starting with the next episode. This is our last episode ever on TalkShoe, as far as we know. Definitely until further notice, it's the last one we have on TalkShoe. We are only going to be using Ustream as a broadcasting tool. Only for audio as well. So we do not plan to do recordings on Ustream of audio. If we ever do a video on the show for whatever reason, which will be very rare, then we will use Ustream to record the video. We are not ever going to edit video of whatever we do on the show. At least I'm not going to do it because I don't want to mess with it. It takes too long. Poor Adam, it took him 2 weeks to get the OSCON invasion video up somewhere because there are a lot of unexpected technical issues that he got it
up
finally.
I can tell you, editing video is very time consuming after doing it.
I've done it.
After doing it last night, I'm thinking, you know, we'll make a really quick scoff news episode.
You'll hear that,
And make sure that it's ready before PHBB Weekly. Well, it took me, probably 3 hours, I hate to say.
I know.
But you know what? Most of it was trying to deal with iMovie's stupid basic interface where you can't do anything with it. I'm like, what the heck, you know?
Are you using 08 or 09?
09.
Really? Hmm.
Yeah, it's
I kind of like it, but, you know.
It's kind of nice, but when you really get into working with it and trying to control video and audio, it becomes a big pain.
Get Final Cut
real
Express.
Fast. Yeah, need to.
Yeah, so
because it's not nice to work with. You know, it's good for simple things. Yeah, like Messer Z said.
Let me get back to talking good. About Ustream, David. We don't have time for you to do a rant on iMovie.
Yeah, bummer.
Sorry. So here's the deal. The whole call us at 724-444-7444 call ID number 12418. That is over. No one has actually called us in well over a year, so you can't do that anymore. Now, if we ever have anyone else on the show, it'll be, you know, guests we've kind of prearranged, and we can add them through Skype or else, you know, sometimes we have surprises, like, you know, we didn't expect Michael to be here today, but he begged, we added him, so that'll happen. But
The other thing is that, you know, the reason that nobody's dialed into that number is because it does really suck worse than the web interface. So anytime somebody has wanted to come in to they've asked to come through Skype. So they've always come through Skype. We've always added them through Skype. So it's not that nobody has actually called that number. It's just that there's a reason nobody uses it, and it's good.
So that is out. But you know, Ustream has a live chat room. It actually is a little bit more full-featured chat room. The chat room actually is live all the time, not just when the show is on. So you can even do that there. As far as I know, you have to be logged into Ustream to participate in the chat. However, Ustream supports OpenID. So if you have a Google account, Facebook account, or any other OpenID-supported site account, you can log in that way. You can bypass, you know, the long-form registration for Ustream and get in there. Or just register for Ustream, so you can do that. So the chat room is still going to be there. We'll be broadcasting the show live. What about the releases? This is a very important point here. Because since we started PHPBB Weekly, back, you know, early days, I didn't do any editing. It was all recorded by TalkShoe and hosted by TalkShoe, and TalkShoe handled the podcast feed, and that's still the case. If you're subscribed to the podcast, you are subscribed to the feed on TalkShoe. We are launching a brand new independent feed hosted on phpbbweekly.net. And we are actually going to be hosting our podcast media on Amazon's S3 service. And David knows a little bit more about S3 because this was his idea.
Mm-hmm. I won't go into it much, but it's a very fast way of being able to retrieve downloads, so you won't be inhibited by slow servers, because Amazon's S3 service is pretty much as fast as it can get. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
And we want to give a big thanks to David. He's actually contributing to the cost of hosting our media on Amazon S3, which will, you know, make for as pretty much downloads as fast as your internet connection can handle them. So that's going to be very exciting.
As it was a lot better solution than, you know, our other options were
hosting
to either hosting it either on Douglas's shared hosting server or putting it on our server, which would be plenty fast enough and handle the bandwidth and everything. Problem is, I looked on there the other day and found I only had about 6 gigs available on the server. So I'm like,
we have over 4.5 gigabytes of show now.
Yes, we do.
It's the past 118 episodes, about 4.7 gigs. Now, S3 service, David's paying for it. It's pay as you go. So the more downloads we have, the more David is paying. Therefore, if you want to be very nice to David, stop listening to the show.
Don't download
it anymore. Stop telling your friends about it.
It's,
you know. David, nothing like a little reverse psychology, David.
It's way, way too cheap to have anybody worry about that. The supporters on Star Trek Guide are really the ones who are paying for it. So if you want to help contribute to the cause, then just support Star Trek Guide, and that will help pay for it. But the cost is really low for S3.
Come on, David, so, a little reverse psychology. Stop listening to the show. We'll get more listeners. Every time I tweet that I don't care how many people follow me, I don't care what they say, I get more followers.
You watch, people will download the show several times just to make sure I pay. Make it pay.
Oh, well, just pass it to your friends while you're doing that. The point is that because we are going to have a new feed, every person subscribing to PHPBB Weekly will need to change the URL of their feed to whatever the new one will be. And that changeover will be happening this week. The site is going. Our site is going down on Wednesday morning to be able to make the transition to Ustream, to the new podcast feed and all that. And you will need to change over if you want to receive any episodes after this one. And I'll post a little reminder on the TalkShoe stream of TalkShoe feed once we have that finalized. So keep an eye on our website for the details of that. But the great thing is that means we'll be able to offer some more formats. In addition to offering MP3, the show will now start being offered in an enhanced AAC podcast format. What this means is that it'll have a much smaller file size, about 60% smaller file size than MP3, and also will include things like chapter markers, so you can, you know, jump to particular subjects that we're talking about. Every time we have sort of an awkward change of topic, you'll be able to jump to that particular moment. Album artwork that will be able to change over the course of the podcast, so you can put like screenshots and things in there, and embedded hyperlinks in the album artwork. So when we're talking about a story, or like we say we're covering a mod or a style, you can actually click the link in the album artwork to get to that mod or style on the website. So it's a very nice format. The downside is that they're primarily only supported in iTunes, which is why we'll also provide the MP3 version as well going forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's
I would hope a lot of people are actually listening to the show through their iTunes. That's the only way I listen to the show is through iTunes. Mm-hmm. But
well, we have the audio players on our site too.
Yes, we do. I know, but I'm curious to know how many people actually listen to it through iTunes versus those audio players.
Yeah. IAC is iPod compatible. iTunes, iPod, same thing. It's so it really
and iPhone, obviously.
Well, duh. The album artwork changing on there too. That means we have a lot of changes coming. We are going to be not broadcasting for the next 2 weeks because I'm also getting ready for a major transition. I mentioned this is my last show for the next 4.5 months coming from San Francisco, California. Next Saturday, I can't believe it, 7 days, I take off to live in a dorm in Washington, D.C. And I'm just getting very intimidated by that thought. But that'll be very cool. So 2 weeks off for me to get settled, find a place for that to work. We will have a non-live episode that we are recording this week. It'll be released sometime probably the week after. We have a guest joining us, not live. A good friend of mine named Laurel Van Fossen. She's primarily works actually with the WordPress community, and she has a great blog and a book about blogging tips. But she also is very involved with the WordCamp events, WordCamp user events that take place for members of the WordPress community. And so we're actually going to talk a little bit about that, and as part of our effort to get more local PHPBB user events going on. And try to encourage people to put those on. So we're going to, glean some advice and some experience off of her for just, discussing what people who want to start a PHPBB event should know and be able to be prepared to put on. And she's very energetic. You'll love her. She can't be on Saturdays because she is so committed to, speaking events and things like that. And she does a lot of traveling around. So that's why the show will be a non-live episode, but that'll be number 119. And David will join me with that. I'm sure he's getting interested to see what she'll be like.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Our next live episode will be number 120, Saturday, August 29th, starting on our new place at Ustream, and at a brand new time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 1700 UTC. That will be our new time from now on. We are moving the show to an hour later than it has been. And a lot of people have said that's a good time for them, so we're happy to oblige. And, thanks. Yeah. Yep.
You will need to notify everybody on TalkShoe who follows this podcast.
Yes. And that will be done once we do the move over. Once I do the move over, it's all my job.
Yeah.
David just gets to sit back and help me however he wants.
I give him the login information for the S3 service, for example.
Exactly. If he sends me today, I can get those uploads going today. Yeah. So, one last thing. I'm surprised no one has asked me about this yet, but I added a little something special to the episode description for this show. Since this is my last show before I go off, it's kind of like, this is sort of the end of a long run for PHPB Weekly before we start some brand new stuff. And I said that I was going to finally reveal the secret behind deep fried pickle hearts. David is ready to hear it, I bet.
Yes.
This is. If you've been on IRC or following me on PHPBB anywhere, I've talked about this thing about deep-fried pickle hearts. I'm going to be honest. I actually made them up the day I joined the PHPBB teams. Did you know that? They all thought.
I guessed, yes.
They all thought that I had just kind of had this along. But no, the day I was inducted to the PHPBB teams, I invented this thing to celebrate. I hail it on my site as a fictional phenomenon. I've told all kinds of stories about it. It's like, healthy deep fried food.
Healthy and deep fried should never land in the same sentence.
Well, they're pickles, They've got to be healthy. And I don't know where, the heart of a pickle is, but I've never liked artichokes.
Okay.
So I actually, I'll be honest, I don't like pickles either. I can't stand them. Whenever I get a burger, I always tell them to hold the pickles. Or a sandwich, no pickles. I can't stand pickles. And I can't stand deep fried food. I hate them. Okay. I hate deep fried food. So
this was a very interesting invention by you.
It was meant to be a very ironic invention. And, you know, just something kind of fun, deep, just, you know, anytime, you know, something interesting goes on, I pass around the deep fried pickle hearts.
That's deep. There was one. Okay, play it.
Wait, what?
Play. Were you going to play something?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's simply all. And at one point, I came up with pomegranate juice for dunking them in. I've never tried a pomegranate. Never. So, it's all baloney. There's the secret behind deep fried pickle hearts. It's all a bunch of baloney. Ooh, deep fried bologna hearts. That's an idea.
Now, as if we really had any trouble figuring that out for ourselves.
Yeah. Now you know. Now it's been confirmed. You have me on record now for the first time in almost 4 years. Okay. There you go, David. Check out our website, phpbbweekly.net, for show notes, links of everything we talked about on this show, and our forum, StarTrekGuide.com. As well. Like I already mentioned, when our next live episode will be in 3 weeks, live on Ustream, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Stay tuned for info about all the changes that we have coming up. It's going to be a very big 3 weeks in more ways than one, for me anyway. And looking forward to it. A big thanks once again, whenever he hopefully listens to this again, to Tom Bedard, or Bedard.
Tom Bedard.
I think it's better.
Pretty sure it's Bedard.
He will probably correct us, and we will make the embarrassing correction next week, next live show. He's at subblue.com. Michael, who chimed in briefly to get away from TalkShoe, thanks again. And David, welcome back. I believe you said you are back on the show full time now.
No, but you've been trying to make me say that.
I thought you said that to me on IRC.
I am back enough to be back full time. So if in 2 weeks, you know, there's still an occasional time where I might have to miss an episode, well, but pretty much I will be able to be back. Yeah, it does. But, yeah, pretty much I can be back.
So it's great to have you back. You add so much. You kept the interview going when I was getting like, I don't have any more questions, David. Just keep asking more questions. Thanks, David.
Sort of making stuff up.
So, thanks for listening to this episode of PHP BB Weekly. And for the last time ever on TalkShoe, remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag. You're it.
You're it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Ashes Burns' birthday. Were you going to say August 8th? Really?
As long as August 8th is today.
Yeah, that's his birthday?
Should be.
Well, shall we sing? Happy birthday to you. Come on, harmonize. Happy birthday to you.
I'll get very embarrassing looks from people over here.
You got to do it. David, you said it first. Happy birthday, dear.
Like, yes.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, see, I got embarrassing looks over here.
PHPBB Weekly Chorus starring Douglas Bell and David Lewis. Happy birthday, Mike.